What's up, guys? I'm Jared Lopes, and you're listening to the Dad Tired Podcast, where I'm helping everyday families learn how to follow Jesus in everyday life. How's it going, guys? Jared Lopes back with you here on the Dad Tired Podcast, and it is good to be with you. If you're new to the Dad Tired ministry, we'd love to tell you a little bit about it. We are a group of guys from around the world who are taking our faith, our family, and our marriage very seriously, and we would love to have you come be part of that. The best way to do that is to go to dadtired.com and to click the community tab. That will link you over to a closed group on Facebook, where there's about 1,500 guys from around the world who are taking their faith, their family, and their marriage very seriously. So if you'd love to come be part of that, we would love to have you. Again, that's for guys. Go to dadtired.com, click the community tab, and that will link you over to the closed group on Facebook. If you're a gal listening to this, which I know that sometimes you guys sneak in, there's also a group for you called Mom Tired. You can search on Facebook for the closed group Mom Tired, and that will link you over to that group as well. I typically only record one podcast a week, which I launched this week's yesterday. So if you missed that, go back and check that out. That was this week's official episode. But last night, my wife got home. She worked. She's a nurse, so she worked a long day, came home. We were having dinner together and just sharing. And she's listening to a book called Interrupted, which has really shaken her up. If you haven't read it, you should read it. It's really good. You can get it by going to audible.com using the code DADTIRED, and that'll get you the free book. That was an unintentional plug, but definitely a plug. Anyway, she's listening to this book called Interrupted, which has been really shaking her up. And for years, really since Layla and I were engaged, and especially since we got married, her and I have always had this heart, a feeling discontent in our Christian walk. We have always felt like God is calling us to more, or to just the way that we're living out our Christian walk just doesn't feel like we're quite getting it. And I know some people can resonate with that. Maybe others can't. It's even hard to explain because we have a really hard time articulating it. But our hearts have always really wrestled. And we've never been a couple or a team that's been like chasing after kind of the American dream or the things that the world would consider blessings. That's never really been important to us. And yet we don't really know where we feel called to do, or where we feel called to, or what we feel called to do specifically, when it comes to this wrestling in our heart. We just feel like there's more. And so the reason I'm sharing this podcast is because my wife came home and we were talking about this passage in scripture, and this won't be a long podcast, but I just wanted to share two quick passages that, like, again, we've read them before, but they had like this fresh new dagger that entered our hearts and really convicted us again. And it's what we're continuing to pray through again. Like, God, what would you want to do with our lives? And how would you use us and our unique gifting to see your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? And the first passage is this. It's in Luke. It's the story of John the Baptist, and he's preparing the way for Jesus. So Jesus hasn't quite made it onto the scene yet. John the Baptist is like his forerunner. He's the one going out and announcing that there's a king coming, a kingdom coming, a savior coming, one that's coming that's much greater than him. And so he's preparing the way for Jesus. And in the midst of him preparing the way, he's moving from region to region, like city to city, and he's telling them this, like, hey, there's someone coming. There's this savior coming that you should prepare for. You should repent of your sins, and you should be baptized because you're going to want to hear this guy's message. And so he gets to this certain crowd, and he really, like, rebukes them. He doesn't, like, I always tell people, whenever I enter in, like, if I'm a guest speaker at a church or a conference, I'm going to do some icebreakers, and I'm going to do some, like, hey, let's get to know each other and try to be real friendly, because first impressions are huge, right? Especially in our culture. They say that you have less than a second to make a first impression. And so you're That might be wrong, actually, as I rethought that. You might have more than a second, but it's really a short amount of time that you have to make a first impression. So I'm always thinking, how can I make a good first impression? John the Baptist was not like that at all. He did not care, apparently, about making a first impression, because this is what he says. He gets to a crowd, and this is what he says to the crowd. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers." Now, just right there, "you brood of vipers" is the equivalent of like calling somebody a mother effer in our day and age. Like, it is the strongest language that you can use in that culture. Super strong language, really almost offensive language that he was using. And these people came to get baptized. Could you imagine like people coming to get baptized at your church and these are the first words your pastor says, like, "you brood of vipers," or, you know, "you so-and-so." Like, these are really heavy words. They're really offensive words, strong words. John the Baptist says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children from Abraham." So what they're saying is, like, they're trying to kind of brag a little bit, like, "Hey, yeah, we've got Abraham. We're descendants of Abraham." And John the Baptist is like, "Dude, who cares that you're descendants of Abraham? Like, God could make these stones descendants of Abraham." And in our day and age, it would be something like, you know, "Hey, my dad's a pastor, or my grandpa's in ministry, or I serve in Sunday school, or I've gone to this church for so long, or I tithe this much money. Like, hey, dude, before you start calling me a brood of viper, look at my track record." And John the Baptist would say, that rock could do the same. God could turn that rock and do everything that you've done. So stop thinking that you're all that. So John the Baptist is not, this is his first impression with the crowd. And he says, you know, "Who cares that you have Abraham as your father? God can do anything, or he could turn these stones into Abraham." Then verse 9, Luke 3, verse 9, he says, "Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Again, really strong language here. Like, he's talking about axes and being chopped down and thrown into the fire. Not your first, best first impression. Verse 10, "And the crowds asked him," now this is key, this is where we'll stop, "And the crowds asked him, 'What then shall we do?'" Somehow John the Baptist got the crowd to like engage with him. After all the brood of vipers talk, all the "we're going to cut, the axe is ready to cut the tree down and throw it into fire." After all of that like harsh language, the crowd then says this key phrase, "What shall we do?" And it's the same question that my wife and I were asking at our dinner table yesterday. It's the same question that I've heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christians ask over and over. What would God have me do if I really wanted to live a radical life for Jesus? If I really wanted to surrender and literally have like all of my life be for the glory of Jesus, what would that look like? John the Baptist, here we are. You've called us brood of vipers. You said that we're trees being ready to be cut down and thrown into the fire. So what shall we do? What do you want us to do? And listen to John the Baptist's response. "And he answered them, 'Whoever has two tunics or coats is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise.'" Crazy, crazy. All the things that John's talking about, all the ways that he is preparing for the way of Jesus. And this is his response to "What shall we do?" The crowd is asking, "Okay, John, you've told us we're not living the way we should be living. We want to get our hearts ready for Jesus. So tell us, what should we do?" And John the Baptist says, "If you have two coats, give one to someone who doesn't have one, and if you have food, do likewise." Let me read you one more passage and then we'll wrap up here. This is stuff to think about today. This is now Jesus talking. These are what we would call red letter scriptures. This is, whenever you see red letters in your Bible, you know that Jesus is talking. You should pay close attention to whatever Jesus is actually saying. So this is a red letter passage, meaning Jesus is talking here. It's his own words. We're not making assumptions about what he would say. This is actually what he would say. And it comes in Matthew 25, verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. He goes on. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You and I, as Christians, especially for those of us that have grown up in the church, can play these theological games and hoops to jump through. We can do Bible studies and study things in Greek and restudy them and read more books and then restudy it and continue to regurgitate on passages over and over and over again, just waiting for God to give us something, some kind of clarity. And both these people and the people that John the Baptist were encountering said, what should we do? It's the same question that you and I ask all the time. What should we do? God, what do you want us to do? If you're really God and you're really changing our hearts, what do you want us to do? And both John the Baptist and Jesus say, feed those who are hungry, clothe those who are naked, visit those who are in prison, take care of those who are sick, take in the stranger. This is the call of Christians. And sometimes I think it just is so simple, we don't like that answer. It's not theological enough. It's not spiritual enough. But brothers and sisters, listen, if we want to actually live for Jesus, I think Jesus literally means if there's somebody hungry, we feed them. If there's somebody who literally doesn't have clothes, you clothe them. If there's a stranger, you take them in. Think foster care or orphans or refugees, right? I think Jesus was literal in these sayings. I think this is what Jesus actually meant what he said. And I don't think we need to overcomplicate the scriptures. If you and I want to live radical lives for Jesus, it can't be done without thinking of the poor, the hungry, the naked, the sick, the wanderer. And I sigh and my pause is that my heart is convicted that I would do so much good for the sake of the church, or so much good for the sake of helping Christians over and over and over again, and yet I would miss the very strong truth in Scripture that God actually just wants us to clothe those who are naked and to feed those who are hungry and to take care of those who are sick and to visit those who are in prison and to take care of the stranger and wanderer. And so you don't need to think real hard. You and I don't need to think real hard. But I would say, what would it look like for you to begin to pray, God, what can I start to give away in both my time, my money, my talent, and my stuff to serve the least of these? And also, if you don't know somebody like right off the top of your head in need, that God, that you would pray, God, would you make my eyes aware and my heart soft so that the next time you bring in the least of these into my life, that I would give everything I've got to serve them just as I would serve you. That's my message for today. I love you guys. That's kind of a bonus podcast. It was just something my wife and I were thinking through last night. And so I wanted to share it with you guys. I thought it was powerful in the way that it convicted me. And I'm sure because it's scripture, it's not my words, but his, that it will do the same for you. I love you guys. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you later.